This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I'm going to show you something. I want you to think hard about it, and then I want you to tell me what you see. Oh, just a bit more thinking time. Oh, Beba turned it off. That's okay, not to save. Okay, what do you see? What do you see? Dot. A what? George? Colorblind. Black circle. I did hear one good answer, but I'll tell you that in a minute. Not that they're bad answers. What do you see, Bev? You see a circle in the center. My sister's a psychologist. I'll have to ask her about that. No. What else is there? There's a white screen. I heard you, Tim. I was choosing to ignore you because you got it right straight up. Most people would say when they look at that, when I ask you, what do you see? You would see the black dot. The black dot. But we ignore the big white screen. The big white. We see the little black dot. We don't see the big white. I want you to think about that. Just have that in your mind. I've been thinking a lot. I want to thank Elaine, actually. Elaine brought a song to the church not too long ago, Build Your Kingdom Here by Wren Collection. I have been, and I know Lee and Tim as well, I've been consumed by Wren Collection. If none of you have heard that band, I've bought two of their albums. They've just been over and over in my head. I just love them. God is good in music and he blesses us and he's been blessing me. And their new album is called The Art of Celebration. And I love that. And that's what we're going to look at today, The Art of Celebration. A few weeks ago in my quiet time, I was reading from Spurgeon and this is what I read. And so I want you to hear this. Some Christians are sadly prone to look on the dark side of everything, and to dwell more upon what they have gone through than upon what God has done for them. Ask for their impression of the Christian life, and they will describe their continual conflicts, their deep afflictions, their sad adversities, and the sinfulness of their hearts. Yet with scarcely any allusion to the mercy and help which God has vouchsafed them. But a Christian whose soul is in a healthy state will come forward joyously and say, I will speak not about myself, but to the honour of my God. He has brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. The Lord has done great things for me, and I am glad. Such an abstract of experience as this is the very best that any child of God can present. It is true that we endure trials. It is true we endure trials. But it is just as true that we are delivered out of them. It is true that we have our corruptions, and mournfully do we know this, but it is quite as true that we have an all-sufficient Saviour who overcomes these corruptions and delivers us from their very dominion. In looking back, it would be wrong to deny that we have been in the slough of despond and have crept along the valley of humiliation. But it would be equally wicked to forget that we have been through them safely and profitably. We have not remained in them, thanks to our mighty helper and leader who has brought us out into a wealthy place. The deeper our troubles, the louder our thanks to God, who has led us through all and preserved us until now. Our griefs cannot mar the melody of praise. We reckon them to be the bass part of our life song. He hath done great things for us, and we are glad. How good is that? We have trial. Let's not pretend. You know, there's no point as Christians going about saying and pretending. That's actually probably a worse witness than anything else. But we have been through. God has brought us through. And I have been concentrating everywhere I go. I can't get that phrase out of my head. The art of celebration. God has set up celebration in our life. And I got to thinking about it. And I was thinking about the children of Israel. So I want to look at Exodus 12. Let's go to Exodus 12. There is going to be, I'll just say it right up front, a lot of scripture today. a lot of scripture. The word is alive and powerful and sharp and rich and true and deep, and I love it, and I can't say it any better than what he's already said it in the word. So I'm going to let the word speak today. Let's have a look at Exodus 12. I'll start from chapter 1. I'll start at verse 1. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. One animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighbourhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and on the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. That same night they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs and internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. We'll stop there. Celebration was so important to God that he set the children of Israel their whole calendar around the feasts. There are seven biblical feasts, and Tim one day will preach on that and tell you all about it. And what all the, because that's what Tim, that was awesome communion message. And just my head's still thinking about all that. I'm not going to go too deeply into the seven feasts, but there are seven feasts. And even that God would call them a feast. The word feast means, let me see if I can find where I've written that, any rich or abundant meal. What do you think about when you think of a feast? It's a celebration, a party. You have all the best things out. It's a really big deal. Or even when you talk about a feast for your eyes, you're looking at something beautiful. A feast is a magnificent thing. And God talks about the seven feasts. And he orders their whole yearly calendar around these seven feasts. The seven feasts are Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. And I'm not going to go into that now, but you can do your own study on those. But I just find that amazing that God ordered their whole calendar, their whole life around these seven feasts. He felt that celebration was so important in their lives that he did that. And the bit I love about this first feast, the Feast of Passover, when did he instruct them on that? Before they were delivered. while they were still in Egypt. They hadn't even been delivered yet, and he set up a celebration feast for them. For as far as he was concerned, they were already delivered. He's already prepared the meal. They're already gone. They're out of there. And he's saying, you celebrate it before you even leave. How good is that? According to him, it's already done. Whatever's going on in your life, you know why you can celebrate, even in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, because the trials are real. The trials are real. The tribulation's real. But you can celebrate because he says, as far as I'm concerned, you're in my playground now and it's already done. And so you can have this feast right now, right where you're at. That's a good thing. God is amazing. I love it. Okay, let's see. It becomes clear, doesn't it? It becomes clear really when we sit and think about the word. If it's important to the children of Israel, it's important to us. We have to have moments of celebration in our lives. And I believe that that's every day. I believe it's every day that we are to celebrate. We have so much to celebrate, and I'll get into that. But every day, not just once a year, not even the seven feasts, not all of those things. I believe every day there can be moments of celebration, and we look over them. We look over them because we're seeing the black dot. We're not seeing the big white page. We go through. I want to talk just for a minute about going through. We go through things, but he never leaves us or forsakes us. I want to just read from Luke 8:28, verses 22 to 26. You might want to write some of these down and look at them later, but this is a story about going through. Now, it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. That was his plan. Let's go over to the other side. Let's cross over to the other side of the lake. And as they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. Then he arose, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee, or on the other side. We go through. And it's just a confirmation again. Jesus, there was no doubt in his mind they were getting to the other side. He fell asleep. That's how confident he was they were getting to the other side. You are going to go through. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. I want to give you 10 scriptural references to remind you that God will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to read them all. You might just want to write them down, just the scripture, and look at them yourself at home, because I've got so much I want to tell you. 1 Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Before we go on, the word is true. All of it is true. If it's all either all true or none of it is true. And I believe it's all true. Word for word, as it is, black and white, I believe the word. And I didn't make any of this up. This isn't me. This is what God says. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Joshua 1:5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You, you, you. He's not just talking here. He's talking about you. I will be with you. So I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. 1 Kings 8:57. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. 1 Chronicles 28:20. David also said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous. How many times did God have to tell us, be strong and courageous and do the work? Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. Psalm 37:28, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. I just read that, didn't I? Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. He says it over and over. Isaiah 41:17, the poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. The God of Israel will not forsake them. Isaiah 42:16, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make rough places smooth. There are things I will do, I will not forsake them. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is not a man. He does not lie. He is not human. He does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? I will never leave you. I will never leave you. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. We're going to the other side. We're going through. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. How good is God? We have so much to celebrate. Every day that you wake up, every day that you have breath in your body, you have a reason to celebrate. Let me tell you some of the reasons you can celebrate. Let me just get down to the bottom of this. Okay. You're a new creation. You are justified. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are healed. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You are overtaken with blessings. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You are delivered from powers of darkness. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. You are complete in him. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are renewed every day. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are free from condemnation. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You are a joint heir with Christ. You are a child of God. You are holy as he is holy. You are bold. You are filled with the Holy Ghost and power. You are weak. You are not weak because he is strong. That's just half of it. You are persecuted but not forsaken. You are the workmanship of God and created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You have a reason to celebrate. Every day you have a reason to celebrate. And we need to make it a deliberate part of our day. These are now just a few things that the Bible says about celebration. And I'm not going to apologize, not that I need to, for reading all this scripture, because like I said, God has said it better. He can talk for himself. And you can get in your Bible, and it doesn't take long to find some of these scriptures. And you might not be good at remembering them. We at the trivia night last night, there was a lot of Bible questions and I was under a lot of pressure because it was my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and everybody else sitting at the table. And every time there was a Bible question, the page just got handed to me and I'm like, the Ten Commandments, I don't know. It's in the Bible. I'll look them up. And anyway, I'm not so good at remembering things like that or scripture references, but I know how to go look it up in my Bible and you can do that. There is no excuse. There is no excuse. We have so much information in our world today. I see you all with your iPods and iPhones and iPads and all that stuff. I see. Enid, I see your iPad. We have so much a way to get to the Word. Even if you can hear it in your car, you can hear it, you know, you can have it playing. This will even talk to me if I'm too lazy to read it. It'll even talk to me. You know, we can get the Word and we need to be getting the Word. When the Lord brought back, I want you to get excited today. This isn't about giving you a pep talk. But who knows, sometimes we need a pep talk. You need to talk to yourself. Talk to myself all the time. And sometimes I've got to be a bit mean to myself. Sometimes, you know, I've got to, you know, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Like David said it, why are you downcast, O my soul? Talk to yourself. Wake yourself up. Wake up. Wake up. Get in the Word. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, I want you to get this. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. We are to be touching. This isn't just so we feel good in here, although who knows, that's good. Because if we're not good, then you know we're not going to be good out there. We're not good in here. But it's not just about us. We want to bring back the captivity of Zion. We want to bring back the captivity of Zion. Our mouths need to be filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. And then they said, they, who's they? They, the ones that are out there. You know, we always hear a lot about they said bad, you know, they said this and they said that. And then, well, who's they? Well, they said, now they're saying some good stuff. The Lord has done great things for them. They look at you singing and laughing and celebrating. The Lord has done great things for them. Then they say, wait, the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Tell of his works with songs of joy. I'm not making any of this up. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And in the Message Bible, that same scripture says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. I love that. Celebrate God all day, every day. He lavishes his love on us. We need to be lavish in our celebration of him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Sing God a brand new song. Earth and everyone in it sing. Sing to God, worship God, sing God a brand new song. Worship God, shout the news of his victory from sea to sea. Take the news of his glory to the lost, news of his wonders to one and all. Shout the news of his victory. I've said that. I've repeated that. News of his wonders to one and all. For God is great and worth a thousand hallelujahs. His terrible beauty makes the gods look cheap. Pagan gods are mere tatters and rags, for God is great. How good is that? Get the message out. God rules. He put the world on a firm foundation. He treats everyone fair and square. Let's hear it from the sky with earth joining in and a huge round of applause from the sea. Let wilderness turn cartwheels, animals come dance, put every tree of the forest in the choir, an extravaganza before God as he comes to set everything right on earth, set everything right and treat everyone fair. That's in Psalm 96. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding or a bride with her jewels. God is amazing. That's from Isaiah 61. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. You can. This isn't about just me. This is you. You can say that. I, Karen, you need to put your name in there. Am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed Karen with the clothing of salvation. That's enough. If you want a reason to celebrate, there it is. He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy. For great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. That's all from the Bible. All of it. We must learn the art of celebration. Do some crazy stuff. I dare you to do it. When you're at home on your own, do it. It's really great. This week, nobody else was home. Elaine's scared about what I'm going to say. Just me and my granddaughter, 2 years old, put on some Ren Collective. And man, we were having the best time. We were running around my coffee table, and this is praising God, me and my two-year-old granddaughter. Was I having a great time? Absolutely. I actually wouldn't have cared if any of you had seen me. I wouldn't have cared less. But did I have a great time? What was that doing for her? What was that doing for God? Because you know what? God sees me and her the same. He wants to see us like two-year-olds, running around our coffee tables, jumping up and down and praising him. I dare you this week, when you're on your own, do some crazy stuff. Just, it feels great to do that. You got to learn the art of celebration. I want to read this. This is actually from Gareth Gilkison, who's from the Wren Collective. And he put it so well. To welcome people into the party of truth and freedom found in Jesus. How good is that? Isn't that what we want to do? We want to welcome people into the party. That all, everything I've read from the Word, how good is that? I want my whole family in that party. I want all my friends and all my relations and everyone, I want them in that party. So if we want to welcome people into the party and truth, party of truth and freedom found in Jesus, we first must be students of that very way of life. We need to learn to celebrate. We need to choose his joy. Yes, we go through things, don't we? Our trials and tribulations are real, but they are but black dots on the page of eternity. When you go through deep waters, I want you to stand up, actually. Let's stand together. I'm not denying, and I've said it before, and you know, when you're in the hard place, it's not so easy. But you need to make some deposits. You need to make some celebration deposits now, when you can. You don't go to the bank and deposit money when you haven't got any. That's when you want to go and take it out of the bank, when you haven't got it. When you haven't got praise because you're in a hard place, you need to have made some praise deposits beforehand. So when you can now, you go to the bank and you put some deposits in your praise account so that when the hard time comes, you can make a withdrawal. All right? When you go through deep waters, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about this, because this is God talking to you. All right? This isn't me. This is God talking to you. He wrote this love letter to you. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Praise you, Lord. God, we love you. I love you, God, and I thank you, God, that you don't pretend. You are not saying that you don't. You said in your word that we have a high priest who can sympathize with every single one of our sufferings. You know what we're going through, what we're about to go through, what we've been through. You know our past, our present, our future. You know our white page of eternity, Lord God. And God, I thank you that you also know that we need to celebrate. And you want us, you have set it in order in your word for us. And I thank you for your word that is life. I thank you for your word. It is truth, Lord God. And I thank you that it is your word to each one of us individually. And I pray today, Holy Spirit, that each one of these people, each one of your children in this house today, Get a true grip of that. Get a true revelation of what it means. You have written your word to each one of us individually, and it's true for each one of us. And our names are in not only your book of life, but our names are in that book, Lord God. You were writing it to us, and we choose celebration. God, I choose celebration. Holy Spirit, I pray that during this week, today, let it start today, that we recognize those moments that we can celebrate your goodness. When we wake up in the morning and we have breath in our body, when we wake up in the morning and we've woken up in a warm house with a warm bed and have a cup of coffee to drink and can eat breakfast and lunch and dinner and have people to talk to and have a job to go to and have traffic to get caught in and have phones to answer and have people to deal with, God, that they are actually moments of celebration in our life. And I pray that those people that come in contact with us will hear the songs of joy in our heart and the laughter that's on our lips, and they'll look at us and say, you have done great things for them, you have done great things for us. And I pray, Father God, that each one of them would come and join this party, that they would want to come and know the truth and the freedom that's found only in you, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you love each one of us. I thank you that you are truth, that you are God above all gods, that there is none like you, that 1,000 tongues and 1,000 words could never express how much we love you, how much we adore you, how grateful we are that we get to spend eternity praising you and thanking you for everything you've done for us. So thank you, God, for the robe of righteousness that's on each one of us, that you've opened our eyes to see you and to know you and to hear you, Father God. I thank you that you've chosen each one of us. And God, I pray that as we press into you and come and enter into your gates with thanksgiving, each and every day, in your presence is fullness of joy. And I thank you, God. I thank you, God. We love you. Praise him. Give him a praise. We thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.